The Survivor Specialist, Phil and Blake, are back, and today we are digging deeper into episode number 9 of Survivor 48. If you haven't checked out our recap from last night, Will and I were joined by the one and only Carolyn from Survivor 44 and the Traitors. That was an unbelievable episode. Love having Carolyn on. It was so much fun to hear
Carolyn Wiggler from Survivor and Traitors was with
there
you guys.
There is no L, night? Blake. There is no L. Did you notice how I didn't try to say her last name because I knew I would butcher it? Then you came in and butchered it. That's the beauty of Blake.
It's Carolyn Wigger? That's crazy.
It's W-I-G-E-R. I think it's Wiger.
Oh, okay. Okay. That's way better.
I think it's Wiger. So,
I haven't heard that word in 10 years. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, so here we are. We are digging deeper into this episode. And we are going to be talking about everything that took place last night. And the name of this one, the end of the Strong Five. Because guess what, Blake? The Strong Five's over. It ended yes. 1 week after everybody was crying, complaining. And by 1 week after, I mean, everybody's been crying, complaining since this was coming to fruition. You have been over here. Last week, you were talking a lot about how you felt like this was Joe's in the bag and everything like that. And I just want to get your initial reaction to the fact that David got booted last night. Is that where you thought it was going or no?
I think a little bit of validation for the Blake fans out there. I said this strong alliance of dudes that are all rah, 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 they're going to fail a little bit when it comes to socialness and keeping their alliance together. And then boom. One episode later, and people were kind of like, oh, it sucks that this is going to be a steamroll to the five. And I truly thought David was going to be a final three member who didn't get any votes and for the rest of his life wonders why he didn't win Survivor. But that didn't happen. And I think it's why did we think that? And it's because we know so much about David. And it is like, why do we know what street he lives on? Why do we know what his marital status is? Why do we know what his favorite beverage is? Why do we know all this stuff if he's going to get ninth place in a, I guess this, I'm not going to say this is unceremonious. This was pretty big ceremony.
That's a big
of like,
deal. Yeah.
Yeah. So are we supposed to be like, oh, I want David back for 50? Are we supposed to be like, David, it sucks that this happened to David because ultimately he was right? So our big question today is, was David right?
Blake has the photos ready to go, everybody, in case you were wondering. He literally has. For anybody who's listening, there's now a picture of David Wright on our screen. And this is what Blake has been spending the last 4 hours doing, is finding these photos. And I can't wait to see what else he has in store. The big question of the night, though, is, was David right? And I feel like your answer to this question almost totally depends on if you like David or not. I feel like we are split down the middle.
Oh, Phil, you're
somehow I muted myself. I don't know.
Yeah, what the heck?
I have no idea. My hands were crossed in front of me. But I feel like right now,
That's not going to work. Okay.
That's literally my pose. That's good. Now Blake has a picture of David and Joe up. And
No. We're working out the kinks. The kinks are worked out. We're good.
Kinks are worked out. Okay. Anyway, so I feel like if you like David, you are saying that David read this perfectly and they ended up voting him out just because he read it. If you don't like David, you're pretty much saying he made all of this happen to himself. I believe, and I am on the side of, I do like David. I think he was great TV. I really enjoyed watching him on this season. What he was saying was accurate. Kyle and Camilla did have something going on that Kyle was not telling David and the rest of the Strong Five Alliance about. He's right about that. Kyle and Camilla threw out that Shaheen might have an idol, which definitely perked up some fear in David, and David got played there. But Shaheen and Camilla were also getting closer to each other. He wasn't wrong about that. And so all of this paranoia and stuff that people have, that he had, it's not really paranoia if it's real. And I do feel like in this episode, this was real. David was, in fact, right about the reads. But what David did wrong and why David is sitting at Ponderosa now is he took that information and started pitching it to too many people to the point where it turned it on him. And if he just walks around and he says, Mary, I'm pretty sure this is happening. And Joe, I'm pretty sure this is happening. But he doesn't start pushing, trying to have total control. I think David probably stays and Mary goes home, and David shows up to final eight going, screw you guys, I'm done with this alliance. You guys have messed this up. I'm never going to work with you. But he pushed it so hard that it ultimately got him voted out of the game, which is what makes everybody want to be like, well, he did it to himself. No, his reads were right, whether he goes home or Mary goes home or somebody else goes home in the situation. Kyle, Camilla, Shaheen, their days in this alliance were numbered. They weren't going to be there that much longer. And so I do think that the reads were right. But Blake, maybe you have a different opinion because you're not the biggest David fan, although there is a picture here called David K. Hot Hot. So there it is.
So kind of whenever I was David is very interesting. I think it was Izzy very interesting. Izzy, whatever. Like there was the bravado of his pregame of I haven't watched a lot of seasons, but why would you need to? Survivor's just human stuff. And it's like there's some very nuanced things that I do think super fans, casuals. Never watched. There is a different layer of do they have what it takes?
I only need to look at that for so long.
What
go ahead.
Heck, dude, I was talking about him. It's something where when David doesn't know, don't cause friction with your main alliance partner and talk about we're going to be completely loyal and never go back on our word, and then go, you went back on your word. Like that's not Survivor 101. That's maybe Survivor 207. And he just hasn't made it to the advanced classes because he's watching like two seasons before he goes out. And the two seasons he sees is all the women voted out the men at final nine. And it's like, how do you prevent this from happening? I think the other thing that blows my mind is the other alliance that has tried to work multiple times is a women's alliance. And there's always like one woman who like, I'm going to go with the big, strong man instead because like instead of going with all just women, I'm going to go with a co-ed one. And it kind of blows up all the women alliance. And like, what I'm trying to say right now is he could have learned from that of like, how do the women alliances implode of like, those are alliances that I could try to learn something from and make sure that doesn't happen to mine. And I don't know if this was his game plan from day one or if it did kind of happen of we all look around of like, there's some big dudes here and we all have the same allies. Let's just keep doing this. But it's something where why did David fail? I think it's because he didn't know how to go about it the right way. And then there's the stuff of, oh, man, I could have won that challenge. If we're going to go against the best of the best and talk about you're stronger than me and we're in a huge showdown, but you're one of my best allies, you don't get to lament afterwards and go, oh, I should have won that and say it as loud as possible and not have people go, I mean, Shaheen literally did it on the show. Shut up, David. Like, come on.
You have actually, and I read and listened to some of David's exit press, and I don't do that with a lot of the players. Like, I don't do as much, but
I love David.
I do. I find David to be an interesting casting choice for the new era. I want to hear what David has to say because I feel like he was the leader of that alliance. There you go. This is what Blake wants to hear David say for anybody who's watching. But for me, that's you in the background, Blake, with the hands up.
Dude, I wish.
So when I'm watching this play out, and now I'm kind of losing, I think I've lost my train of thought, but
okay, let's address what Jairo is saying in the, maybe no. David wanted to use somebody from Survivor Australia. He didn't watch Survivor Australia.
Jairo spoils every season for me. Like, I don't know what Josh and Mark's style of gameplay is yet. I haven't finished that season. Please don't spoil it for me. It happens all the time. It's crazy. Stop spoiling the seasons for it. It's like I'm sitting here and I'm watching like the first three episodes of 2018 and he's in the comments going, isn't it crazy that Shane Gould wins the season? I'm like, dude, I didn't know that. Stop. Anyway, Jairo, I love you, but come on. Don't spoil the season. I don't know what Mark and Josh do, so don't spoil it. Anyway, I totally forget where I was going with this, but essentially what I'm trying to get to the point of is David said in his exit press that Joe is very easily offended. And I thought that was interesting that he said that because I don't know whether Joe's easily offended or not. I've never said a word to Joe. I don't know if David's easily offended or not. But based on what David said, he truly believes that he was voted out of the game because he was acting like that after Joe won immunity. And because he said to Joe, you went back on your word. He truly thinks that those are the reasons why he was voted out of the game. That's David's opinion. I don't know if that's true or not, but that is truly what David believes. So if that's what David believes, and like you're saying, Blake, oh, you can't be, oh, if you're going to go best of this. If you're a competitor, you beat yourself up when you lose these things, right? Like that's what you're going to do, especially if it's something where you feel like I should have won that and you blew it. That's going to eat you alive. I'm sure David wakes up some nights thinking about shit. If I would have held on for two more seconds, I win that. If I don't trip and fall off, I win that. So I get what you're saying, but I do think that ultimately Joe and Eva making this move to vote out David here, and nobody's really saying this yet, but to me, it feels almost a little emotional because I don't think David should have gone here. And I'll talk about a little bit more of why I don't think David should have gone here, but I think this is a bad move for Joe and Eva, and I think it's good for everybody else. And so Joe and Eva now, I think, go into a worse spot. And a lot of it is, I mean, like, if you can't handle David being like, well, I should have won that, don't vote somebody out because they say I should have won that. Be like, all right, that's a lost jury vote. Although David also said, and again, I don't know if this is true, that Chrissy and Cedric were saying in their Ponderosa video that he's going to get their vote. So anyway, I can see you're itching. Sorry.
I mean, people can lie too. I think that's one thing is like,
but no, they were saying it in the videos, not to David. They were saying it in the videos of their pond. I haven't watched whatever Ponderosa versions.
They have Ponderosa again now.
I guess they do. I had no idea.
Like bring it back for 48. We need it. One thought process I want to kind of say, Matt Leinart lost to Vince Young. And in the post game conference, he goes, I still think we're the better team. And it's one of those things that's always been in my head for 20 years of like, too bad. So sad. Like you lost, you're going home because of it. But like it's so much better to do the whole, like, great game, Joe, you nailed it. Like you seem so more likable. You seem so less flippable than you going like, God, that was mine. And that's so annoying. And you're just like, oh, okay. So now I can get off of that. But that was just something in my head of like, that's not making you more likable or making, I know they were already rooting to knock him out. So they were probably had their minds made up, but it you want to have that lingering thing of people need to feel bad about voting you out. So maybe they won't. Mm-hmm. And for David, it was like, people were just like, I can't wait to do it. And I think it's crazy that the people that didn't vote him out were Mary. Was it 5-4? It was exactly.
It was 6-3. Mary Starr and David voted together. So Joe and Eva voting for David is why David went home. If they elected to stay with David, Mitch would have won home 5-4. Although it probably would have been 8-1 because then Kyle and Camilla probably vote with Joe and Eva if they feel that the votes are going Mitch's way.
Gotcha. So I just think it's interesting that we go from like Eva and David are in this scenario of the greatest moment of, I don't know if it's the greatest moment of Eva's life, but it seems like it'll be the most talked about moment of Eva's life for the rest of her life is this, and then this follow-up. Mm-hmm. I don't get how Eva goes from this extreme emotion with David. I don't understand Joe, or I understand Joe because we were told he insulted my stuff and I get it. But for Eva, I don't know why she wasn't like, I trust David. And it did feel like most people, like even they're playing a weird version of Survivor. Yeah. Of most people would just, David doesn't really seem like he knows the ins and outs of this game. Drag him as far as possible. And then you don't have to deal with him. Like maybe he wins a fire making, but if he loses fire making, you knock him out at 4, and for the rest of your life, you go, man, you were just one spot away. You could have won. And then you have his jury vote, and he like votes for you and also like campaigns for you that night and like shakes your hand. And he's like, I always believed in you. But like, I just don't know when
there's
now
no way David votes for Joe at this point, right? No,
not
way.
At all.
No way.
And like, would he vote for Eva? Probably not because he's big, strong guy alliance. And you're like, okay, so Kyle has a shot at it? Probably not. And so then who is left? It's like, he's voting for Shaheen? And like, That's the other thing. I'm like, whenever it's 4-4, it feels really dicey for, oh, this is how it all blows up, is one dumb thought process at 9 of like, don't put yourself in a scenario where you could get flipped on easily. But Eva can do her, I'm going to go away and give her idol to Joe and get both of them through an entire scary boot at like 7, which is what I'm like expecting to happen of like, the challenge, the stuff matters. I'm not making much sense right now, but I'm just saying it doesn't make sense what we saw last night a little
bit. It doesn't. I want to look further into this because I know a lot of people who listen and a lot of people who have been, you know, on the internet. I know we were talking to Carolyn last night. She wasn't a big David fan. And so I know a lot of people are just happy David is gone, but I want to seriously think about this from a logical standpoint. That's what I want to think about.
And because if you're taking someone out of the strong alliance, why are you not breaking these two up?
Well, exactly. And so Mackenzie L. Burns puts up this. It's probable that he could have went on immunity run if they kept him in. So getting him while he's down, as well as his agitation about Kyle Camilla, plus tribe morale being tense. I get all of that. And I think that that is fair of the immunity run. But Blake, we were talking earlier and you said, if you're going to get rid of David at 9, because he doesn't have immunity, why not just get rid of him at 10 because he doesn't have immunity? Because you can get rid of him then.
Oh, yeah.
And so if you're getting rid of him for the immunity physical threat part of it, then you get rid of him at 10. I don't think they got rid of him for that reason. I don't think they were worried about the immunity run. Here's the thing. Why I think this was the wrong move for David and or for Eva and Joe ultimately. Eva and Joe make this decision and give Kyle, Camilla, Shaheen what they want. Mary's on an island. Mary's not going to want to work with the two of you because she's going to feel like you two probably cut her the most. But more than anything now, you do lose your shield. You lose the person who is the most gung-ho about this alliance. David's whole thing was, let's vote out Camilla, then let's vote out Mitch, then let's vote out Star. That's what he wanted to do. He just felt like he could work with Star later, so Star was going to be last. But that was his plan. He was never going to look at Joe and Eva, probably looking to go to Final Four with Joe, Eva, and Mary. And what happens here is they make this decision to vote David out of the game. This shows kind of a lack of survivor knowledge, not just from, you know, we talk about the lack of David's survivor knowledge and how that bit him in the ass. But this kind of shows a little bit of a lack of survivor knowledge from Joe and from Eva. Because I do think that they're saying, okay, well, if we do this, now we move to Final Eight, we still have the numbers, whatever. No, now you move to Final Eight, David's gone, Mary's on the outs, and everybody's going, man, Eva has Saved Without Power and an idol. That's really scary. Maybe we should vote Eva out at this next tribal and not tell Joe. What's Joe going to do about it? Can't do anything about it. He has no move at that point. Then we can get rid of Joe after that. But by getting rid of David here, you allow the people to do that. Because Joe can say as much as he wants, I don't like where David's going with this. But David was never going for Joe or Eva. He was going for Kyle and Camilla and Shaheen. That's who he was worried about. He was worried about Shaheen and he was worried about Kyle. He wanted Camilla out. They pushed back against it. Same with the other way. So Joe and Eva can't even make the pitch to David of, well, you were coming for me. No, he wasn't. Well, you were trying to break up the Strong Five Alliance. No, he wasn't. He was trying to go after Camilla. They pushed back. Ultimately, everybody decides on Mitch and he says, fine, I'll vote Mitch. They backstabbed him. Joe, 19 minutes in, I'm going to say it now. Joe went back on his word. Not when David felt it. But in this moment, voting David out of the game, he went back on his word. And so I do think that in a game that's honesty and integrity, we see it often, right? There's Joe with the side eye. He's looking at
how
me.
How freaking like, dare you, dude, Phil?
I feel like he's going to kill me in that photo.
He's never
like,
gone like, back on his word.
If Joe gets to Final Tribal Council and says, I played with honesty and integrity, who is he? He's Coach Ben Wade. That's all he is. He is literally Coach Ben Wade. Because if he gets there and says that, the jury's going to say, no, you didn't, Joe. You voted David out of the game. And the thing is, there's no problem with Joe doing that. but you can't then make the pitch of honesty and integrity for the rest of the game. So I do feel that this is going to bite Joe and Eva in the ass, because I think that if they get through this vote and Mitch goes home, you have Joe, Eva, David, Mary. They are not voting for each other. If anybody wants to vote anybody out of that four-person alliance, they're going to vote David out, because Kyle, Camilla, and Shaheen are already talking about wanting to do that. You have a safety without power and a hidden immunity idol. You're done. You're in the final four of Survivor if you want to be. Now, you don't have that group of four. You can't get that group of four. And you might think you have an alliance of five, but the people who do have knowledge about Survivor, that would be Kyle, that would be Shaheen, and that would be Camilla. And that's who you've aligned yourself with. And they know for sure that you're going to beat them if you get the final three with them. And they are not going to let you do that.
I also think something about Survivor real world, there's just some people that good things happen to them more frequently than bad things happen to them. Mm-hmm. And it's people that are prepared. Prepared people are more lucky than unprepared people. Or, oh, this is a muscle group I've worked out thousands of times. That's never going to happen for Camilla, but she's going to be, oh, cool, a puzzle. So what I'm trying to say is Eva and Joe are on the top of the world. They don't really see any negativity that could come for them. They have every person asking them for an alliance. They have currently every advantage that exists. They currently have every kind of goodwill. They have the storyline. They have, if production's rooting for a winner, it's one of Joe or Eva to pay off episode four of what a crazy moment that went all the way to the end, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
So I don't think they have the thought process of we're driving very close to a cliff and we need to make sure we don't fall off. I think they're like, look at the view. This is amazing. And right now, if they get wind of it, there's at least two or three people in the game that could drastically improve their position by going, hey, Joe, if Star goes, hey, Joe and Eva, they are trying to vote you out. They just asked me to help you. And they use an idol to knock out the person trying to go out with them. And they're like, Star saved our ass. Now we're taking Star to the final three with us. Like, I'm wondering about what are we not seeing by not getting these people's viewpoints? And is it either not important or is there a storyline coming? And I think there's something to be said of Mitch doesn't look like he's doing anything proactive, but like, if Mitch, Camilla, okay, it's everyone but those people. So let's do Mitch, Camilla, Kyle, Star, and Mary all work together. It's clearly going to be Kyle and Camilla that win that because they're the only ones that have been focused.
Well, I think Shaheen's in that too, though. I think Shaheen would be in there.
But then that's six people. Like, that's literally everyone besides Joe and Eva. We can't do an alliance of six at eight. That's just...
If you want to vote out somebody who has an idol and a safety without power, that's exactly how you vote him out, because now you split the vote 3-3. That's exactly how you vote him out.
Right. But when Joe has immunity because he's kicking all your ass, and then Eva has her safety without, you guys eat each other. And then whenever he does it again next episode and she has an idol, you guys eat each other one more time. And then it's like whoever was being respectful and didn't go, you guys are a loser. Work with us to get to the final three. I think there's at least one person that'll crack, or one person like Shaheen being like, well, that was my original plan. Like, I always had your back, and I was just worried that I was going to be next after you guys. You guys trust me, right? And I'm like, and that's another good thing of like Shaheen, debate professor.
Yeah.
FTC. Also, there was a comment of somebody going, what if someone didn't vote out of spite in the finale? What would production do? They would not give them their $70,000 check.
Yeah, I know that's coming about because Say said that she wasn't going to vote for somebody. Yeah, Say was going to vote for somebody. Say can talk a big game, but Say was going to vote.
She still wants her money for participating.
Yeah, if she doesn't want the 70 grand, sure, don't vote for anybody. Survivor will just kick her out of the final tribal council and they won't air her. Yeah, her edit would have been much different had she made the jury and said, I'm not going to vote for somebody, and then has to get removed from the jury. Her edit would have been a lot worse. So anyway.
Also, I kind of want to say some stuff like Joe has to be the most complete player for Survivor, like producers ever. I just want to go. He's attractive. He's strong as hell. He has a amazing job. He has a backstory that he hasn't even shown yet. Like, that's what I'm like, is that coming at Final Tribal Council? He has an amazing moment that will be talked about for the rest of forever. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm kind of like, whenever there was 50 talk, there was no 48 male guaranteed on 50. And it's like, does Joe not want to play? Or is it like too close of like, you're not going to see Joe's win and we can't let him be on 50 because people won't take him as seriously, or people will be, why is this guy on? And there'll be a disconnect. Also, this intense stare. And whenever David does go home, like right before this happened,
man, this, we're getting pictures galore, guys.
This stare came back and I was like, holy crap. Like, this is a Godfather edit earned, in my opinion. Like, I trust and believe that Joe's going to get out of this. I don't think he's going home before Final Four.
You're crazy.
Because I think he's going to like stunt on these people in challenges still. If there's physical at all, it's like, how are you going to beat him? Like, and Kyle, I don't know why Kyle would try to go after Joe after they have a wonderful moment.
Because Joe and Eva are going to win the game. You have to go after them. This is your time. You know, Shaheen knows about the Safety Without Power, and he went and told people about the Safety Without Power. So this is, Jesus, now we get Kyle too. We know what's going to take place if the final three includes one of Joe or Eva. And when you're saying Joe's one of the most complete casting choices, this is what David's talking about when he says, in these new seasons, we're not seeing these kinds of people. Joe's not even close to the most complete casting choice because we had Tom Westman in season 10. We had Terry two seasons later. These are the same types of people of, look at this great story. Tom's a firefighter. Terry's a Navy pilot. Like, look at these guys with their families and this, and they're good looking and they're great at challenges and they're leaders and blah, 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 yada, 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 right? We saw that so much early on. We just don't see that anymore. When David or when Gabler comes
none
out
of them
and plays,
did, none of them did this.
No, because they didn't have to. They didn't
in
have
front
that.
Of Bianca.
Yeah, well, Bianca, I know, exactly. Exactly.
Has anybody seen Bianca's eye in the, like, that I'm seems like a sure Mandela Bianca effect.
Did. No, it's pretty good. But what I want to say is, when you look at how they're casting this, they cast Gabler. Gabler's the old guy, you know, does doctor stuff, whatever his job is, military, family, and all that. And instead of making him like the leader type, they make him the kooky old guy. And so that's what we're used to seeing. Even Jonathan Young, like, if they're talking, here's a serious question for you, Blake, and I want to know your honest answer.
Here's a serious, honest answer, Phil. I got you.
Give those. And this is like when Will made fun of me for saying literally in one of our Token Gene podcasts.
Scout's honor, bro.
Here we go. Jonathan Young or David come back for 50. Who would you rather watch?
Okay. I like that. It's a 51. It's a 51-49. It's not a blowout. And I think it is a pros and cons. I think they're both very visually like distinct. I think the long hair of Jonathan, I know that's a weird way to go first, but like Jonathan got further in the game. Jonathan had a couple more like fights. It seems like he understands the game a little more. Jonathan also had more hero moments in challenges of dragging his entire people. I think people do remember that years later of dragging Marianne, Omar, and Lindsay through the ocean to win a challenge. And I think Jonathan Gold, that's his last name, right? Goldman? Yeah. Jonathan
Damn,
Young.
You're Jesus. Killing it with the last names today. Young.
Not good. Jonathan Young is definitely, I just saw him in a documentary about the WWE. Like, is he about to start trying to wrestle? Or he's just really good friends with,
Lex Luger.
It was crazy seeing Luger, him in there.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like, okay, interesting. So he's like been in the peripheral. I think I also don't really like the thought process of David kind of being like, I don't need to watch the show to be good at it. Because
you think
clearly,
Jonathan watches it?
No, what I'm trying to say, Phil, to get the point out, when someone loses at nine, making a boo-boo that's easy to not make, I don't want to see him play again because I don't know if he's going to change his play style.
What was his boo-boo that was easy to not make? I'm not going to let you just say that. You got to tell me the boo-boo. Yeah. What was the easy thing to not
if
make?
You and I work on this podcast. If I said, Phil, you're not pulling your weight on this thing, you're going to be on my ass. And like, now you're not pulling your weight on this thing. So whenever he talks to the person, they've been talking about honor and integrity for a week now, and talking to the most honorable and integral, whatever the hell that word will be, for his alliance person, go, you went back on your word. I know we get to see every camera angle and see the reaction and the thing right afterwards, but I don't know how he walks away from that and being like, that was a positive conversation. I feel like we can go the distance now.
But he said to Joe, that might be my bad. That might be my bad. Again, I don't think that David, you could say David made an easy mistake here, but like David has a chance to win this game. Jonathan never had a chance to win 42. Jonathan gets smoked at Final Tribal Council. And everybody can say David never
David
win.
David would win zero votes. No way. Like,
no way. I just don't
believe
Phil, it.
I would bet you money.
I really don't.
Who is voting for David in the end?
If he gets there with, like, if he gets no there shot. And he's playing the game normal, Joe votes for him.
Joe's next to him because they never
okay, but,
win
but
against
what I'm
each
saying
other.
Is he's not a guaranteed zero vote. Jonathan Young was a zero vote finalist if he makes it to the end of that season. I don't think that this should even be close.
Owen to come back. He's a zero vote finalist. Why would you not want Jonathan to come back?
Because I'm not comparing Jonathan to
Okay. We're comparing Jonathan to David. Jonathan, okay.
And I think saying I don't want the person who finishes ninth place and made an easy boo-boo, I don't want them to come back and play again. I think that's crazy. I think that the reason why David went out here is because he was calling out what was going to take place, and then it all took place. What place did Rupert get on his first season?
Okay. Chrissy just went home at 10 for calling out this thing. So if you paid any attention to the 10th boot, don't call out this thing. Just keep hunky-dory going through.
Chrissy's not aligned with any of them. David is. So he's calling it out because he's trying to warn his alliance. This is Paul Revere saying the Redcoats are coming. And everybody's like, yeah, but we're drinking beer. We're having a good time. They're probably not going to get us tonight. We'll worry about it later. And then he keeps saying the Redcoats are coming, the Redcoats are coming, the Redcoats are coming. And then everybody's like, you know what, dude? Shut up. Now we're tar and feathering you. You get out of here. Oh, and then the Redcoats are coming. Because I think Joe and Eve are about to get hit here. So I'm just saying, to me, if it's between David and Jonathan, I want this guy, because you know what he is, Blake?
Oh, you can click pictures now.
Wait,
too?
Blake, what is he? Blake, what is he? He's a star. He's a star. And now I used your star picture. Definitely not the way you wanted it to be used. But I want David. I think David is a better character than Jonathan. And I'm surprised that David's not more in the mix than Jonathan. And that's just honestly how I feel, because I think David causes as much drama, if not more, than Jonathan. And I feel like David has a better chance of winning. That doesn't mean that I think David is the best choice from this season to play on season 50. I don't. But I think that if they're going between, we need one of these macho men, give me David, don't give me Jonathan.
Here's a legit question for you that I want to understand. What in your mind makes David, like, how it seems like you think he's a better player than I do. And I don't know why there's a disconnect of, like, why do you think David is a strong player that would get votes at the end besides, I'll do a caveat of besides Mary.
I think that his social game definitely needs work, but I think that if he plays this alliance-based game, he gets to the end. We've seen this guy be super straightforward in the way he talks to people, to his negative, to his positive. We see it not work with Joe here, ultimately probably get him voted out of the game. But I think if he gets to the end and says, this was my plan the entire time, he's going to lay it out very clearly. And if the jury respects it, they're going to vote for him. If they don't, they're not going to vote for him. But he's not going to have to sugarcoat. He's not going to have to, you know, pull a Steven from Token Chains where he's mumbling, stuttering over his words. He's going to come out. He's going to say exactly what he needs to. And I think that he would get votes at the end. Now, granted, I could be totally wrong. I thought that his edit, based on what we were watching, I want to talk about the editors and give them credit. I said to you earlier, some people will be like, well, why did this happen with the edit? I'm watching this and I'm going, David's going to go to final three or at least the finale because he's getting this massive edit and he's barely going to tribal council because that's how the editors normally make it. This season, they decided to edit him better, even though he went out early. And I respect that because I do think that all 18 players should be edited in a pretty significant way, no matter what their placement is, like tell the story that's supposed to be told. But I just think that David physically was good. I think strategically, he's not nearly as bad as people think he is. And I think a lot of the reason why we saw the blemishes with his vote out or with his strategy is because he's voted out of the game. And socially, like I said, when he's yelling at Chrissy, everything he's saying, Joe is nodding his head 100 miles an hour. Eva was saying in this last episode, I want to keep David around. Yeah, that he was getting paranoid and that hurts, but I don't understand why people think David's a buffoon. He's not even close to a buffoon.
Okay, I'm going to be a little bit more on your side here. I think he would have a Culpepper final tribal council.
Yes.
I was going to go Culpepper. How many votes did he get? If it was one, I was going to be told you. But Culpepper got three votes. Yeah. So maybe David loses 7-3-0.
He plays against a very strong game there with Sarah Lucina. Yeah.
So sure. He could play a Culpepper game. Do you want to, in your hearts of hearts for 50, do I want to see David take up a final tribal council slot and play a Culpepper game? No.
So. And here's my thing too, because as people are talking about,
I want to see Jonathan Young get like 12th place.
Yeah. That's and there's really nobody. I don't want anybody like that early, right? Like I don't want Say to come out and be somebody who dominates screen time, who is a pre-jury person and then gets the final three because people know they can beat her. And that's the game. Like, I don't want to see that. That's not what I want. That's not what I want on 50. I want 50 to be all people who realistically can win no matter who they sit next to. And it's going to be based on the game that they play. That's the cast I want. That eliminates people like Abby Maria, right? So maybe that eliminates David too. And that's fine. But I'm just saying, I do find it interesting that the rumors that are circulating right now are Jonathan Young is probably in the mix. If they're going to put a big, strong guy and Joe doesn't win and David doesn't win, and I'm assuming Joe doesn't win, but he could win. But if they're both not going to win, I'd probably take both of them over Jonathan at this point. I would take Joe or David, and I'd be totally happy with that because they are physical players. They're not really strategic players. I would take them over Jonathan. I think Jonathan's thing was just like, holy shit, this is the biggest guy we've seen since James. Okay, but beyond that, now we have the more interesting versions of those. And we talk about this all the time. We're doing Every Season Matters. You get Judd in Survivor Guatemala. You get more interesting versions of Judd every season after that. And that's the problem. And that's what I think with Jonathan. And, you know, no, it's not supposed to be.
I hope you get eaten by an alligator, Phil.
I hope I do too, man. I really do.
I mean, you're running past them all the time.
I do. I go way around in the Everglades.
I get what you're saying. One other thing that I think I maybe have alluded to in the past, we went to a Bryson Wynn visit LA, and we had three contestants show up. And now all three of those contestants have been eliminated.
Who was the third?
It was David, Thomas, and
Thomas. That's right. Thomas. Yeah.
So David was there. And seems like he was talking to everybody. There was not a girlfriend in sight. And it was like, ooh, who's that? And no kissing, don't worry. But what was he standing next to? But like, that's where everybody's mind goes. That's like even like third grade. Like, ooh, are you trying to talk to her today? Like, that's just bar stuff. Mm-hmm. So whenever David had a storyline about my girlfriend, this ex-girlfriend, I need this money to win, it kind of was alarm bells of like, David is not winning. That's why I kind of was like, okay, does he get third place? And I don't think that's a spoiler. It's more of like, I'm taking what's shown to me in real life of if we would have met his girlfriend
At the premiere event, Thomas and Stephanie got out of the same car to get when they were Ubering. And I was like, fuck that.
Final three.
Right. Yeah. Like, and then Stephanie gets voted out. And I'm like, no, Thomas, just a nice guy. That's all that is.
Cause I remember for season 30, I saw that guy on the beach and I was like, I think he gets final four. And then he did not.
Yeah. Like, yeah. All right. Let's, what else we got? What else we, you know what?
So that's what I was going to say is, right. Did this moment last week, have in your mind of, oh, David's probably on the way out? Or do you think any kind of interaction current Survivor players have at these things? Is this a spoiler? Is this like, oh, if you're going to start going, this is one of your last couple episodes. Does that ever pop in your head? Is that something people could pay attention to or look into deeper?
Here's my thing. I work a freelance job right now. The job I work, I can work from anywhere. That's why last week I was working in Atlanta. That's why earlier this season I worked in New York.
Right? Weren't you? You were literally in the same spot.
I was. I think I took this photo. I did not take this photo. Okay. But when I sit there and I work from anywhere. So I was able to go to the Bryson One event and do that in LA. I was able to go to the New York event. I was able to go to Atlanta. If I ever got cast on Survivor, I'd be at every single event. Are you kidding? Every single one I'd be at. Because this is your one time to do this stuff. This is your one time. And like I sat next to David at the premiere. I didn't realize it was him until, the episode kind of starts going.
Until he literally flexed and knocked you out of your chair.
His shirt just kept ripping every time he moved. That was the crazy part. But when I'm sitting there and like, you hear how excited everybody in that cast who was in that room is to be on the show. And I do think that like you would be, and I mean this wholeheartedly, like if you get cast on the show, I think you're foolish to not go to every single one of these things. Because to get to watch this with a live audience and with a cat and like with your cast and all that, enjoy the entire ride.
It'll never happen again.
Yeah. Because then you become the person who goes, you're on season 48. Now you go to the Ron Clark for season 50. That's great. Season 50, everybody's going to remember you. It's not like people are going to be like, who the hell is that guy? But I'll tell you what, I was at Atlanta in 46. I was at Atlanta
for 48. From season 44?
Hear me out. I was at Atlanta for season 46. I was at Atlanta for season 48. Hunter was a lot more popular during season 46 than he was this past week. Oh, that doesn't mean that people weren't excited to see Hunter, but he's no longer the same Hunter that we're watching on TV. So I'd go to everything, enjoy the whole ride. Almost every single person was at the Ron Clark event. So like that means nothing. Are you going to look into the fact that at the Austin, Bryson, Wen, Joe and Camilla and Mitch were there? I'm not.
I'm just wondering, because on Drag Race, when people show up to do interviews, it's like, oh, they got voted out. They got knocked out that week.
I don't think so.
It's just a thing that I'm wondering if it translates. Okay, it doesn't.
Can I ask you? So,
by the way, Eva just got another advantage, you guys. Literally just fell out of the sky. That is such good timing,
because I actually want to talk about Eva's advantage. For anybody who's only listening, Blake has informed us that Eva's new advantage is 1 gallon of chocolate milk. She has it. Blake downloaded the PNG version, but forgot that it was going to show up with the pixely background here.
No, I definitely wanted that.
So anyway, let's talk about Eva's advantage, Blake. So Eva has an immunity idol. She's in the majority alliance. She goes in, she's gifted an extra vote, and then she's told if you can risk it a 50-50 shot to get safety without power, then you can risk it and you have a 33% shot of getting another hidden immunity idol. What do you think about this? Because I was going at Carolyn and Will last night trying to make a counter argument, and one that I truly think is right, but I don't think people agree with me, and that's okay. I'm just curious where what would you
want me to done? Do you want me to agree with you, or do you want me to
I
say
want
my
you to
opinion
tell me and truthfully what you would see people think that we make up our storylines. Carolyn said last night, are you just trying to be anti-Twitter? This is truly what I think when I'm saying this stuff. I'd get a lot more views if I just said what people wanted to hear.
I have it on my notepad from earlier. You said, make sure you disagree with you no matter what. So
I wrote that down. Bro. We actually recorded this 3 times, and we just finally got it right. And now
St. Cliffo was busy, so we had to wait till now. I think what I'm trying to say is, okay, your advantage is an extra vote. And I think Eva we're all seeing this through Eva's eyes. It's nobody else. It's not what happened 2 seasons ago. It's not what could happen on 50. It is 48. We're at final 9. She has a stranglehold on the game. An extra vote is a team play of, I can use this with my team, with my alliance. Her team is dominating. If her team gets overthrown, there's going to be 2 people at the bottom. 3 people at the bottom. An extra vote makes that 3 or 4. There's going to be more whatever. I think the thought process is, we are at the individual portion. My team is dominating. Do I need more team buffer? or do I need more individual buffer? A 50% shot at I can be safe if all goes hell to hell, or I am like really stressed out. Cool. I'll just say goodbye. I think that is a, oh crap, that sounds like a really good idea.
Yeah.
Of I need individual reassurance, not my team who's so far ahead needs that extra vote to squash them even further, is kind of even more like you hope the as a producer, like Eva does take the selfish way, and maybe her alliance is kind of exposed when she's gone and doesn't have a vote.
Here's the other thing, and I thought about this last night, that I think is going to hurt Eva with this. By the time that Eva is going to need to play safety without power, she's going to be out of the game. Because I don't think that they're going to blindside Joe before they're going to blindside Eva, knowing all the information that these players know. And maybe that's not the type of game they're playing. Maybe they will vote Joe out first. But if you vote Joe out first, you let everybody, you let Eva know you're next. So play safety without power. And Shaheen and Kyle know that she has safety without power. And I think Camilla knows too. Here's why. Here's
going
how
going for the extra idol would never work. So I'm glad she didn't even try that. That doesn't make
sense. Yeah, the extra idol is useless. It's a 33% chance. Like somebody said, your actual odds of getting here are like 1 in 6, essentially, because you got the half and then the 30. But here's my thing that I want to do. As a former Detroit Lions fan,
you're no longer.
No, after they got destroyed by Washington, I'm just done.
You're switching to the Rams when you move.
I just haven't. I've not watched a play of football since the Lions lost that game. Literally.
Oh, that's only like 3 games. So whatever.
Oh yeah. Okay. So no NFL playoffs, no Super Bowl, no college football national championship. When I tell you I have not watched a play, I mean I have not watched a play. Somehow I've gotten through without watching the USFL or whatever the hell's on right now. But here's the example I want to make.
Triggering you, bro.
So the Lions are down 14 in the NFC Championship game, or up 14 in the NFC Championship game 2 years ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
Dan Campbell gets in a field goal rage. It's a 35, 36 yard field goal. You hit the field goal, you're up 17, you're up 3 scores. The game is essentially over because you have you're late in the third quarter. So it doesn't matter. He elects to go for it.
What if you're up 21?
It could put you up 21, still 3 scores, but could put you up 21. It could extend the drive, whatever, but he goes for it and doesn't get it. And the Lions end up losing the game and they lose it by 3. And the thing is, if he kicks that field goal, you're up 3 scores. The 49ers have to play differently. They don't have momentum. You thwart the momentum. To me, the extra vote was the field goal in this situation. If you're tied, you go for safety without power. If you're losing, you might go for the idol, or you just go for safety without power and just be like, I'm out. But when you're winning by as much as Eva is currently winning by, that extra vote is so valuable. So valuable. Because in her mind, she doesn't know that David's exploding over at camp, right? She doesn't know that that's happening. In her mind, it's her, David, Joe, Camilla, Kyle, right? And maybe you throw Camilla out. So there's her, David, Joe, Kyle, Shaheen. There's your five. She thinks she has a 5-person alliance and a 9-person crew. If you get safety without power, you have to know they're voting you out. And then you just have to leave. You just leave tribal. I don't think that that works with the situation she's in, but getting an extra vote. And now if you get the final five and they have the numbers on you and you and Joe are on the wrong side, you have an extra vote that you can use to make it 3-3. And that's great. That's huge. So I think safety without power is useless, especially when people know you have safety without power. You can't do anything with it. So I get most people are saying, and Will and Carolyn both agreed that it was safety without power was the move. If you're winning by 2 touchdowns and you can kick a field goal to go up 3 scores, just go up 3 scores and cruise to the victory. You don't need to pile it on. And I think that her better move is the extra vote.
All right. Well, you got to put all that in your audition video for 51 of honestly, has anyone thought about Survivor in football stuff? Because Dan Campbell, and if you say all that and you go, I promise, hear me out. And hopefully Jesse Tannenbaum's like, I've never heard about football. What's that? And he listens to all that. You're going to nail it. And I think that confessional that you do is a Drew Bacille type confessional where they're going to go, this guy's a genius, man. Because that does make sense when you say it like that. But I think the thing I tried to say earlier about some people seem luckier, but it feels like Joe and Eva are super prepared. They have super alliances. I think one thing that is kind of hard to see for fans is when you have the ability to win immunity, you kind of don't think you're going to lose, and you can kind of play not more risky, but you can play more confident. And I think both of those people, Joe thinks he's going to win immunity probably 40% of the time. And if he can talk to Kyle and be like, are you good at balancing? And Kyle goes, no. And then it's like, okay, it's a balancing one. I'm going to make sure I double focus now, because if I beat Kyle, I'm going to beat most of them. And I think something that blows my mind is like, Star is an athlete. She plays basketball. She's lost like in the first 7 seconds, like twice now. Mm-hmm. And it is kind of like, okay, if I beat Kyle, I'm probably going to beat most people, because what is Shaheen going to beat him? And like, I think maybe there was kind of a play of, if David is the one that falls on this sword of somebody had to go because it just was not feeling good, now it is opened up where Eva's going to be fine on her own because she has advantages, and then it's going to be too late and I'll just win immunities, I think is an actual thought that until someone comes and punch him in the mouth, he's going to be like, yeah, that works for me.
Yeah. I mean, you're not wrong in any of that. And so like, that's where I think that, but let me ask you this about Joe. Cause last week you were like, Joe's won it, I'm bored, whatever. Do you still think Joe is winning this game?
So one pivotal thing that we saw that makes me go, I think so, is, hey, I'm Shaheen and I'm seeing something I shouldn't be seeing. I'm going to wake up the number one player in the game and let him know. What? Like, you don't want any of that information of your own to see if Eva's going to tell everyone or keep it to herself? You don't want that gotcha moment that Marianne pulls to win the game? You want to let the number one player in the game know, and then what did he say? Did he say follower? Did he say just chill?
He said just chill. I trust her. It'll be fine.
Yeah, and then that's what happens, and everyone chills instead of Shaheen did not use that to advance his game at all. Maybe
don't agree with that, because I think that Shaheen's doing this to create a rift if Eva doesn't come to Joe. But because Eva went to Joe and told Joe, now it's like, oh, look, she actually is very trustworthy. But if she doesn't go to Joe, then Shaheen's like, hey, Joe, what's up here? Now, granted, it always seems like they're going to go together. But also, this is a way for Shaheen to find out, are Joe and Eva going to tell him everything? Because if Eva tells Joe and Shaheen doesn't ever find out this information, Shaheen's going to start trying to lead something and say, guys, they're not telling us. So,
yeah, I'm watching
Samoa right now. Natalie's is so much worse.
I truly think I get what you're
saying. Can I tell you something insane right now, Blake? Because Mo just put that Star to get the worst winner at it ever. Can I just tell you something crazy right now?
You can do whatever. Yeah. You want to do it on the podcast?
I want you to hear this. I need to get this up. Okay. So Star getting the worst winner at it ever, according to him. Star currently has 18 confessionals. Okay.
That's pretty bad.
Natalie White ended with 18 confessionals.
So maybe Star wins the game without getting a single confessional in her last 5 episodes.
I mean, granted, we're getting an hour and a half episodes here, but there were also 15 episodes of Samoa. There were more episodes of Samoa, I think, than any other season of Survivor. So she got 18 confessionals in 15 episodes. Star currently has 18 in 9 episodes. And then if you add the extra half hour onto each of these episodes, that essentially makes it 15 full episodes, a little bit less. Star actually is getting a bigger edit than Natalie White did.
So she could win. Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, I am wondering if the Star's family, Star's friends, Star's everybody is like, well, I thought this was going to be a lot cooler, but I'm still rooting for you, babe. And like, but like, what is Star thinking?
She's thinking, can you tell me?
And every time she does say something, like she says the funniest stuff at Tribal every time. And then Jeff will immediately ask a question to either David or Joe. And I'm like, Bro, ask Star something again.
Let's talk about Star getting shot down, because Star has been a personality on the season. We see her trying to swim and stuff. She goes up to Mary and David and says, "You guys want to vote out Camilla or Kyle tonight?" And they're like, "We can."
Yeah.
And then Star was like, "All right, I guess
they'll use an idol." It's like,
what? And it was like, it was just immediately, "No, we can't." And it was like, "All right, well, there goes Star. Star, what do you want to do the rest of the night? I'll just make fun analogies." Like, whatever. It's funny how that worked.
Yeah, I'm wondering what Star's game plan is. And like, there's a lot of storylines that I don't think are going to get paid off from the pre-merge of like,
which is fine in my opinion, like, with Survivor.
Because Eva's idol was originally Star's, and Star very publicly gave it, and nobody's like, "Eva, Star wanted to, or Star, Eva wanted to vote you out. Eva, why are you taking Star's idol?" Like, The ammo is there, and people are just like, let's fly kites. And it is weird of like, there's a lot of kite flying in this whenever like a lot of people need to be churning feet ducks thing. Like,
yeah,
I think that was an interesting thing of both the last two tribal councils were churning ducks. Wasn't that last week?
That was
and
last,
then, yeah. And then this week it was, I think Joe said, or maybe somebody said, like, "We truly don't know. Like, we could go home tonight." And I was like, "I don't think you believe that, but okay."
So where do you think Star, Mary, and Mitch factor? Can Mitch still win? We barely talked about Mitch. Mitch survives this last night. Can Mitch win this season still?
No.
You don't think so?
No.
Do you think he gets picked up by either of these alliances? Like, where do Star, Mitch, and Mary factor into the rest of the game?
That's what I'm so confused about, of like, how does the strong person alliance plus Camilla is now five, and we just replace David with Camilla. And I think most people are like, okay, I like Camilla. Like, I don't know. Does Joe and Camilla talk for the last 3 days, or are we going through Kyle, and Kyle is the glue guy, the legitimate glue guy? Confessional gets paid off from last season. Does Kyle win, or does Kyle get second place? Like, who is this story about? Is it how Joe loses, or is it how Kyle wins, or is it both of those? And I think that's a thing that I'm like, is Dave, that's actually what I wanted to say.
I just needed to put up a picture of Kyle for you to
know. Is David right? That was the talk about this podcast. But I think the reason why I think Joe wins is Joe is going to have to answer David of, did you lie? And that was super important for final nine. And Joe is going to have an answer at final tribal council that will eclipse the hate from David. He's bitter, whatever, but everyone else will be like, I get what you're saying. Of course that makes sense, Joe. It's kind of crazy that you made it to the end. Here's seven of the jury votes. Thanks for having us on your season, because people will remember this as the Joe season, because there's not a Hustlers versus Heroes on this.
Do you see the confused face by Kyle here?
He's confused.
He wants to know right now
why that can't be him.
How you answered a question of how do Star, Mary, and Mitch factor into the end game here, how you answered it with, this is how Joe's going to win at final tribal council, and didn't mention any of those three, and instead mentioned how David was going to give his jury vote to Joe.
No. He's still going to.
So this face of Kyle here, for anybody who's watching, who looks super confused, this is how Kyle looks right now watching this podcast. Listening to this.
Okay, let me get a second chance.
Answer the question.
Phil, I already feel bad enough already when you say that. Just let me talk. I think the answer to, what was it? Mary, Star, and Mitch.
Mary, Star, and Mitch. How do they fit in?
I think they don't. And I don't think Survivor cares. And I think it's going to be really unsatisfactory. And it's just going to be, I don't think they make it to four. I think it will be a boring ass episode. Like, if they announce like a double coming up, I'd be like, oh, boom, boom, both of them.
No, it doesn't line up, because we have the 30th, the 7th, the 14th, and the 21st. So the 30th gets us down to 7.
So we have three episodes before a final 5.
Yeah. Yeah, three episodes, then final five, and the 14th gets us down to five, and then it's five there. So
I think we're cruising for a bruising of like.
Well, here's my and I was so wrong last week, and I know a lot of people. Somebody on the episode yesterday, I have to see what people say about Carolina.
Isn't it cooler to be wrong sometimes though? Instead
I think
of
so. I mean,
right?
I try to give the spectrum of things. Like I could just come on here and be like,
I have
it
a
might
spectrum
happen.
ally.
Yeah, I like to be able to say as many different things as I can. Here's how I truly think that if this was the smart moves, this is how I think it would go. I think Eva will go home at 8. I think Joe's going to win immunity at 7. And that's going to send Mary home. Mary will go home at 7. I think 6, Joe will go home. I think Mitch is going to go home at either 5 or 4. And I think one of Kyle, Camilla, Shaheen will go home at 5 or at 5, whichever one isn't Mitch. And your final three, I could see Star sneaking in because why get rid of Star? Star is the Romeo. Star is the Jake. Star is the person who just gets there and loses and doesn't
Don't say that to Jake.
And then your winner at this point, I think Kyle or Shaheen is going to win. And I think Camilla has an outside shot. But I think Kyle versus Shaheen, when you ask what's the story, whose story is this? To me, the story of the season is Kyle and Camilla right now. We got all of the Guyanese background. We got Kyle's big confessional last night about prior arrests and things like that. We have him and Camilla constantly going together. It's not Joe and Eva's story.
Imagine being the story of the season is Kyle and Camilla.
Dude, the story of the season is Kyle and Camilla. When Kyle and Camilla are sitting there at the end, or one of them goes home at fire and the other one goes on to win, you're going to be pissed. Joe and Eva, this content is so incredible from Joe and Eva that obviously Joe and Eva are going to get on our screen.
Okay.
Kyle and Camilla's kind of finding out that two people, wow, we both like holes. Awesome. Awesome. That is not Kyle. That is.
I know. I didn't have what Kyle and Camilla.
We have Mitch and Camilla sitting on a log. We need the face replacer thing. But so when you sit here and you think about this, is it really that interesting that they both like holes? Is it really that interesting that they're both Guyanese? Most people don't understand the size of that nation, right? Like most people don't know. So they don't know how unpredictable that is or how crazy it is that that's happening. So when we're getting all of that, Joe and Eva's content, that's like Emmy award winning, great stuff. Awesome human moments. What Survivor's about being like, hey, I like holes. And that makes the edit. And David says in that episode, our King David here for the season, who I thought was going to win for a second. He says, you can tell a lot about people by what their favorite food is or how they get their steak done and what their favorite movie is. And then Camilla and Kyle bond over having the same favorite movie. I'm just saying, man, maybe it's their story.
I think one thing that I said for the first time that I think here's two more sentences about it. Survivor doesn't care. And I think that's when you've watched this show, this great show, this American Touchstone show, for 27 years like we all have, I think when you're a more casual fan, you are kind of like, oh, this will come back around or whatever. I think there is a, well, there's narrative stuff that makes sense, and then like the Mary and Say are gonna come back around at Merge, and I think there's a, are we gonna call them red herrings, or are we just gonna go, oh, Survivor didn't care because it didn't work out exactly the right way? But it is interesting of if Kyle and Camilla make final two, Camilla has no shot at winning because Kyle has saved her at least twice already.
Yeah.
But she saved him.
Yeah.
But he had his idol.
And
so
I do
it wasn't really
will be on the minds of the people on the jury, yeah. And Kyle will win against her.
So Kyle wins and you get your winner pick of you nailed it. Was he your winner pick?
I had Thomas. I hate myself.
Oh, God. I had Charity.
Yeah, I just think that we're having this
discussion. Camilla hasn't been around for like two episodes. So how does she?
What are you talking about? People are so dramatic.
I like being dramatic. It's more fun.
Blake is
okay,
actually.
Phil has to go eat with his parents, so I thought Blake I could get the last word, but now he's going to try and run me off.
He is the faceless Twitter accounts all over the internet. He is them, the ones who are like, this season stinks. Camilla's not on it. You know how many confessionals Camilla had last week? She had 7. She had 7. What are we talking about?
Eva had 13 this
season. 16. This get it right.
Jeez,
but yeah, Camilla only had 1 last night, but she had 7 the week before. It's not like she totally disappeared. Joe had an episode with 0. Eva had an episode with 1.
To hide him.
Had 2 episodes with 0. Kyle had an episode with 2. Mitch had an episode with 1. Charlene had an episode with 1. Camilla gets a couple episodes with 1, and we're like, the sky is falling. Camilla is not in the same level of invisible as Star, people. Calm down.
The one thing I do want to say, though, is the drop-off for Mary has been crazy.
Oh, that's been crazy. That I agree with. It has been crazy.
Of, like, she's clearly a... so is Star, though. Clearly a fun character. Clearly kind of involved. Mm-hmm. Clearly has an opinion. Is it just, like, your opinion is wrong in our opinion, or in our eyes, so we're not going to show it? I'm like, damn, Survivor. Well, like, let Mary speak.
Yeah. And what I want to wrap this up, because I do actually have to go get dinner with my parents. You're right. I didn't realize it was 6:08.
They're watching, but, I think.
No, they're definitely not. They wouldn't do that. They don't believe in that type of support of listening to you and me talk.
Oh,
no
my
way.
God. They're literally in the chat right now.
Here's my thing for you.
They said, I wish Blake was my son. He seems really fun.
People.
I remember him from your wedding. He was wearing a Hawaiian shirt.
He wore a Hawaiian shirt to a black tie optional wedding. True story, everybody. He put the optional in black tie optional. What was lying to me while I stood there in my tux.
I literally looked up optional in the dictionary. I just didn't realize.
So last week you seemed frustrated with the season. And I've gone on record saying the season is okay. I don't think it's great, but I also think, and I talked about this in my Patreon in my after show today, I feel like you can't actually tell if the season of Survivor is great or bad or whatever until you actually see how it ends. Because you could have a terrible beginning and a great ending. You could have a great beginning and a terrible ending. It could go back and forth either way. And so I think you have to watch the whole season. And as we sit here and we have these discussions now that David was voted out of the game, and it's like, well, will it be Kyle and Camilla? Will it be Shaheen? Where does he factor into this? Where do Joe and Eva factor into this? Whose story is this season? Star, Mitch, Mary. Yes, Star and Mary. It's annoying what's happened, how they've fallen off. But everything else, what more can you want from when you're discussing a season live? This season has the conversation points that you want to be having at this point. We don't know who's going to win. It's not super obvious, no matter how much people want to say it. And we just had a major blindside that shook up the entirety of the game. We had crazy boots in the pre-merge, and we are doing our episode 9 analysis here, digging deeper for episode number 9. And there's 4 or 5 people who can legitimately win this game. That's good editing. That's fun. And like, I can understand some of the frustrations that people have had with some of the, you know, more standard episodes or whatever, but you need those to have these big moments. If David's alliance doesn't feel like it's dominating, David's boot means nothing when it happens. David's boot last night is a massive, one of the most impactful of the new era. And it feels that way. And that's great. So I'm definitely feeling more optimistic about the end game of this season. Yes, there's a couple people I wish I saw more from, but I'm feeling more optimistic. And I mean, obviously this is a leading question, but you answer it however you want. Are you more optimistic at this point, or are you still as frustrated as you were last week?
Whoo. I think it's important to ask yourself, your fellow Survivor watcher, your Survivor producer, your Survivor contestant, your Survivor whatever, what is the best possible option for 48? The strong alliance gets overthrown. The Joe and Eva win out. I think there's a lot of there's going to be a lot of people disappointed no matter what because they want to be disappointed. Is there a chance we get 3 Romeos in the final tribal council? Of, you remember back in the day where it was like, you got to kill the goats or the goats are going to graze. What if the 3 goats, I'm saying goat as in they're not in a dominant position. They're not in a dominant alliance. They're not in a dominant strategy stuff. They're not dominant in challenge, blah, 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 blah. What if it's 3 goats and we're watching a... I'm using Romeo as a shout outs to Romeo. He made further on Survivor than I ever will. But it is a thing of, what if we watch Mary, Star, and Mitch do a final tribal council? Of, they will, if they are given more room to, like, we're at 8. if we vote out Joe and Eva, now they're 3 of 5. 3 beats 5 of numbers wise. You knock out Kyle at 5 and you beat Camilla at Fire, and now you're the final 3. I'm sure those people are begging for that to happen. Mm-hmm. And it is kind of like, is that what we're headed towards? Of like, this is such a hard, like, how did this happen? It isn't something that people worked for weeks. It's something that was presented because this game is so fast paced. At day 23, people just looked around and go, why don't we go to the end? And that is an electric episode at final 7. And it's coming. And we're like, oh, okay, perfect. I'm getting it. But like, I think narrative wise, it's boring if Joe wins, but it's also the most, like, this makes sense for what we've been telling. Because if we have 3 goats in the end and we don't focus on them at all for 4 episodes, it is going to be like, that is the most random ending. And I'm not going to feel paid off as an audience. I'm not going to feel like, wow, I'm really glad I watched 13 episodes of that season. And who cares if they're playing well or do navigate perfectly if we don't know them and care about them? Mm-hmm. And based on the edit and stuff shown, it's kind of hard to care about Mitch, Mary, Star, and Camilla over the last couple episodes because they haven't really been shown. So I don't even remember the question, but what am I looking for narratively as a fan, as a producer, as a whatever? Am I rooting for Joe? I just think that makes the most sense. And I think Joe is about to go on a crazy run physically, because why wouldn't he?
And I just want to, you know, I love going to confessionals, and I get what you're saying. I mean, everything you're saying makes sense. But I just, for anybody who feels like we're not getting there, blah, blah, blah. Mitch's last 3 episodes, 2 last night, 6 the episode before, 10 the episode before. So 18 confessionals since the merge. That's pretty good.
Mitch wins?
Like, I mean, that Kyle has 25. That's not that much more. Eva has 22. Joe has 19. So he's only 1 behind Joe. Camilla 171. Joe last night 953. Eva 16-5-1. Like, after episode 7, when Eva's coming out of there with 1 confessional, Joe's coming out with 3, people weren't like, we're not seeing any Eva and Joe. It's like, I think it's so much based around just like, again, it's like David's gone, so now the strong 5 is over, and people have now moved off to what's the next thing to be annoyed by. And I'm not saying that's what you're doing, but it does feel like there is that reaction, that natural reaction from some Survivor fans to be like, I need my next thing to rage over. And the next thing I've decided to rage over is they're not giving Star, Camilla, Mary, and Mitch enough screen time. And it's like, I think that's nonsense with Mitch, Camilla. I really do. Mary and Star, sure. Mary has fallen off. She's 1 confessional last 3 episodes, whatever. Mitch has the same amount of confessionals this season as Joe. And Camilla's 1 behind them both. And Shaheen's only at 36. I don't think it's that crazy. I think people are just kind of looking for the next thing to be annoyed at. That's all. So
what did we learn today?
No, what did we learn on today?
I think there's a lot of, everybody's going to be mad no matter what. There's a big Survivor thing. This isn't Parvati played 3 idols. This isn't a woman-dominated season. So maybe there is a little bit like, oh, we prefer seasons like that because those are some of the best, highest-rated seasons of all time. We need some more villains. Okay, we don't really like them. Okay, that kind of put him in a weird spot of there was a lot of tension. The tension gets taken away. I kind of like when my Survivor players are dealing with tension and being starved, but I guess that's not really a thing anymore. What did we learn today? Anything could happen, and we'll be like, I can't believe that happened. Like, I think David going does kind of open up the game. So why would it go back to, oh, now that we got rid of David, we can take our 4 people all the way to final 4. But that kind of does make sense of like, we can only go to 4 and then Fire figures it out.
Yeah. We'll see what happens. Like I said, I'm more optimistic, but that's going to do it for Digging Deeper today. I am going to be
Where are you guys live on eat?
Yeah, I got to go, but I'll be live on Sunday at 1 p.m. with Andy from season 47. We'll be doing predictions of Power Rankings for episode number 10. Yeah. Andy, big time, baby.
Holy
Let's go.
Shit, dude.
So I got Andy on Sunday. If you haven't listened to the episode with Carolyn, I don't know what you're doing. Go check that out. Otherwise, Thank you all so much for listening. Hope you enjoyed this, and we'll see you next time.
Hasta luego.